It's a chilly morning, and I'm dressed in multiple layers of clothes. But I know I'll be warm soon. I'm about to ride my bike to work with Dan Clever.
So, I guess we should set off.
Clever is a member of the Durham Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Commission. So, he makes a point of riding to work a couple of days a week on the American Tobacco Trail.
It's a really good commute. Man, I'm very lucky. You know, most of it's pretty flat or on bike lane, so...
How long does it take you to do it?
It usually takes me around 40 minutes and then 10, 15 minutes to shower. So it's about an hour from door to desk.
Clever says it's a pretty easy commute from where he lives in West Durham to work in Research Trials Park. It might be cold in winter and hot in summer, but there are no hills on the American Tobacco Trail. The railroad company graded it a century ago, so trains had a flat route into the heart of downtown Durham. It's since been converted into a thoroughfare for runners, walkers, and cyclists who want to stay out of traffic.
Morning.
Yeah, people on the trail are pretty friendly. I talked to some other bike commuters at work who have much more treacherous routes, and I always feel a little bit guilty.
Plenty of things can make a ride treacherous. Fast-moving cars, narrow shoulders, lots of driveway openings, rough roads, sewer grates.
I've heard many stories from folks on the different listservs getting yelled at, having, you know, drinks thrown at them, having people run them off the road even.
Julie Woosley is Dan Clever's counterpart in Raleigh. She's part of the Bicycle and Pedestrian Stakeholders Group for the Capital Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. She says CAMPO surveyed bikers in 2005 and found a lot of concern about safety.
We saw an incredible number of people that would like to bike to school or have their children bike to school, but were concerned about safety. People who ride their bike to work, a lot of people do it. A lot of the ones that don't said they were concerned about safety. So we saw this theme emerging from all that.
For years, growth in the Triangle has centered on building and widening roads to help cars better access developments on the fringe. Fleming Alameen is a planner with the City of Raleigh who's in charge of bike and pedestrian transit. He says to make bicycles a viable part of the transit mix, it'll cost money to further alter the roadscape. But Raleigh doesn't have any annual money dedicated to bike improvements.
I mean, we can come up with the greatest plans and have the best intentions, but at the end of the day, if there's not a dedicated funding source robust enough to really accomplish a good chunk of what we want to do, it's not going to make it.
That's part of the problem for any kind of transit. There's some federal and some state money for improving roadways and bike facilities, but most of the money has to come from local municipalities. And transit improvements of all kinds are long-term projects in competition with more immediate needs, such as schools or water. Lawmakers still don't see lots of demand. Many people, like Doug Chaika, say it's a chicken-and-egg problem. Chaika is part of a bike repair co-op near downtown Raleigh. He and the others there are trying to get people on bikes and raise the profile of bicycling in town. And he believes there's a lot of pent-up demand.
People are not going to go out and ride if they don't feel it's safe. But at the same time, if we had the facilities, they would ride. But if the City of Raleigh doesn't see the use, then they won't create the facilities. So it's kind of like, you know, they're at a stalemate almost.
Some communities in the state have pushed for transit improvements as part of smart growth. Raleigh planner Fleming Alameen says it takes strong leadership and the political will to find money to build and sustain viable transit alternatives. He says right now, Raleigh doesn't have it.
The 5% tax on rental cars was decided as the major funding source for transit, and that yields, you know, about $7 to $8 million a year. But in Charlotte, Mecklenburg County, they yield about $65 to $70 million a year with their half-cent sales tax.
Elamine and other planners say the future of biking in the Triangle will be on roads. And that will require widening older roads to include bike access, adding sidewalks and restriping newer roads to provide for bikers and walkers. He says Raleigh's about to start work on a new bicycle master plan.
And we will really be focused on roadway improvements. We want to look at this as a pure transportation alternative and not just recreational.
Elamine says the next generation of bike paths need to get somewhere, to work, school, the supermarket. Scenic greenways such as the American Tobacco Trail and the Reedy Creek Trail in Raleigh are good for getting people out on weekends, but for most people, they're not viable routes to get where they want to go. Elamine hopes that the process of writing the new bicycle plan will help inspire people to push for the money to safely fit bikes on the road. A conversation about the plan begins this weekend with the first of several public meetings. Rose Hoban, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.
You can hear that story and others from our North Carolina Voices series on growth and transportation in the archives at WUNC.org. Rose Hoban is the health reporter for North Carolina Public Radio and is with us in the studio this morning. Rose, just a couple more questions. What are the health benefits of making a bicycle or your feet a part of your daily commute?
Well, part of that's pretty obvious. If you can actually get out and do some walking or riding in the morning, you're getting the exercise that all the experts are saying that we need. The guy that I rode to work with, Dan Clever, he was saying that his commute is about an hour from door to desk, but he was also saying that he doesn't bother going to the gym.
Right, because, so he's going an hour each way.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's a little longer in the morning because he gets to work. He's actually got a shower at work. He showers and then gets to his desk, so it's a total of an hour. But he's riding for 40 minutes of that, and then he's riding home for 40 minutes. So he says that he doesn't bother with the gym, and let me tell you, he was pretty wiry.
Well, what's the minimum amount of exercise people should be looking to try to get from their commute?
It's a little bit – it's still a matter of debate. But generally, I think the minimum that people should be aiming to get in a day is a good solid half hour of something that raises your heartbeat. You know, so not just strolling. You really need to be walking briskly or riding your bicycle and actually getting your heartbeat elevated a little bit. You know, that can also include things like taking the stairs when you're at work rather than taking the elevator, or walking to and from lunch. And then that also applies to your home life, too. You walk to the grocery store instead of driving. Again, you know, to just talk about some of the bike advocates say that suggest that you take a map and you draw a circle. It's a circumference of a mile, and try and do all of your chores within that circumference on foot or bike. And that's going to get that exercise into your day really easily. And like I said, this guy, Dan Clever, who's riding, he's getting more than that and getting to work at the same time.
Are there things you should watch out for before pulling the bike out of the garage and riding to work for the first time?
I guess the recommendation is always that you talk to your doctor, you make sure that you're up for it, and then, you know, maybe doing some stretching before you start off. But in general, it's more – there's actually some courses out there about defensive riding in traffic, which actually is a good thing to do because it gives you some pointers about what to be looking for, how to avoid hazards, how to interact with cars when you're on the road so that you're safe. And I think the most important thing is to wear a helmet.
All right. Rose Hoban is health reporter for North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. Thanks, Rose.
You're welcome, Eric.